Hey guys, welcome back. This is Dark Temp 66 Joe. So this is the I think it's the second episode of our new series focusing on other streamers. These are our original original podcasters. We have Ezra and Weezus here, and we are talking about the new expansion, Master Mirror. So guys, let's dive in. What do you guys think? What's your first impressions on it?
I think it's fun. I think it adds a lot of different, it changed a lot of the way the factions lay, you know, nerfing Harmony, and bringing in like Symbiosis. I think Spellatel is back, is one of the like stronger Scoatel decks right now. And obviously it's only been the second day. So it's kind of hard to pick, you know, what's really good. Changing monsters are like focus a little less on Thrive and more on, you know, the Frost. I don't know if that's really a good change for them, but I mean, it's a change nonetheless.
So when you're talking about Spellatel or Scoatel, what are you exactly talking about for people who are new to the game?
So I just noticed, you know, because first couple of days, I really want to browse to see what the community is doing on Play Gwent. So I saw that Specimen Gwent made a list, you know, and it has like waters. It just has a bunch of spells in there. And a bunch of cards that play around it. It has the new, I don't know how to pronounce it, Hamadryad, you know, the Symbiosis at the end of your turn. If this unit has vitality, boosts health by one. So ways to give that vitality, use that as like an engine. With cards like Dryad's Caress, you know, where you're purifying and boosting and giving them vitality. So I think that's going to be very popular. I think going away from Harmony and more towards this for the Scoatel.
Well, yeah, I think they did that, and I mean, for people who don't know, you know, Harmony is a card that if you play a unique on top of the Harmony, it procs plus one. Now, Harmony, before the expansion, it didn't matter where you played the card. Any card that was Harmony would proc plus one. Now it is row specific, which I think is a huge nerf, in my opinion. But I guess a lot of people think much needed. Much needed nerf?
Yeah, Harmony was very consistent. Probably one of the most played decks last season.
Yeah, and they've introduced some really exciting cards with Scoatel, monsters. Ezra, what kind of deck are you been looking at? What are you most excited about, Master Mirror?
Honestly, this is the return of the Skellig deck for me. Yeah, I did play it last season, but it was very cookie cutter. Everybody knew what you were going to run. It was Greatsword Dagger. Now with the incorporation of the new Veteran Veil mix of warriors that they've put in, it actually gives the deck another viable option that's not going to be so cookie cutter as, you know, the previous seasons. And me and Weezus were just talking about his new deck, and there's a lot of little niches that you can put in there or take out, and it seems that it's going to swing for a lot of damage and you're going to get a lot of value out of it and not be so, what's the word, easy to pick in a sense. Like, it's, you're not going to be so easy to understand what you're trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, back when, you know, last season with just, you know, great swords, people were running a lot of locks, and that would just throw a wrench in your game plan just right then and there. So now this one kind of like plays around it. I think Veterans is very good. If you don't know what Veteran does, every start of every round, your card that has Veteran, its base power goes up by one. So if it starts the game at 5 power, if you play it in round 3, it'll be 7 power. So you're just constantly, as the game goes on, your deck's becoming stronger and can answer, you know, better. And I think it's more consistent because it really focuses on good bronzes. I think I've heard a lot that people are happy with bronzes affecting the game more, so it's less high rolly. And you know, Gwent is infamous, you know, for trying to lower RNG away from like the card game scene.
Yeah, so I mean, that one of the other mechanics that I found what was really interesting is the devotion mechanic. It essentially means that, you know, you have to play a card to your faction throughout your entire deck to proc devotion. So like, let's say you're playing a monster deck and you want to play something like Renew, which is a neutral. Your card will not use the devotion. And for one of the cards, which is super strong, ANL Conqueror, has a Veil deploy, destroying yourself. If it has devotion, it cancels the deploy ability. So you're talking about a 4-provision card with 7 power, which is pretty nuts. I forgot who it was that was on Twitter earlier today made a really good point about devotions. It really changes the mechanics of how decks are played now. So when you're playing, let's say in a specific game, it kind of limits to what the player might be actually playing, which I think is really interesting. So if you're seeing devotion cards, you know you're not going to see like a Karathi Heatwave, which I think changes the meta a ton.
Yeah, that was Sir Pumpkin. I saw that Pumpkin, tweet too.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he says, I actually pulled it up. Devotion is definitely the best archetype added to Gwent. Knowing for a fact that the opponent does not have a random Igni Heatwave in the deck allows you to all in on your game plan. This allows you to play your deck to its fullest potential and typically results in more fun. So yeah, it gives away some information. I remember when I saw Devotion for the first time, I thought that Devotion was kind of bad because for that exact reason, like playing Devotion, you're giving people like an edge knowing that they can count out all of these neutral cards because there's a lot of good neutral cards out there and that your opponent can count all those out. But after the new set hit, I think Devotion is actually really good.
I think that's the interesting thing too, right? Is you look at the cards and you're like, wow, that's a really powerful card, or it's a really powerful mechanic, but it's really, you're not going to know what it's going to do until it's played, and then realizing how people are going to manipulate it. So what are the other mechanics are we forgetting about? They've introduced Frost is a real big one. Maybe not weather mechanics have been in the game, but Frost is specific to the Monster Wild Hunt, I think. And that allows you to pretty much do 2 damage to
the highest now.
Highest character on the row. So there's actually a lot of cards with weather effects that do that. So I've actually been playing a monster deck that kind of plays with the Wild Hunt Frost, and I would say it's pretty powerful. One of the mistakes I was making with it first was I just made it too Wild Hunt. I didn't have any tall cards, and then I actually looked at Freddy Babes, made a one that actually focused on Thrive and the Frost mechanic at the same time, and it's very good. And it kind of goes around using Oberon King. And that's another interesting thing. Do you think that decks are going to rely on the leader? Is what they call a leader card, I guess is what they're calling it?
It depends what you're going for in a deck. I think some will rely more than others. I mean, it depends how you build it. Like, I'm just going to keep relating it to Skellige because that's the faction of the most. Greatsword relied very heavily on Second Wind, whereas Veterans doesn't. I mean, Second Wind's helpful. It's good for, you know, shifting the game into your favor again or catching up or something, but it's not really a last say anymore. So I think it kind of really depends on what you're going for in the deck building process.
And those specific cards too, in case you don't know, they actually, at the start of every round while in your hand or deck, will transform. So the card actually becomes more and more powerful through the rounds. And if I'm not mistaken, if it is played in the first round and put into the graveyard, it cannot transform, but it can be brought back into the game, correct?
Yeah. I haven't really messed with the mechanic that much. Normally I get it after it's transformed already. But I think it does stop transforming.
Yeah, because that would be interesting. I think Oberon King, so as it comes out into play, it plays and spawns a random bronze Wild Hunt unit. When it goes to the second one, it actually creates instead of spawns. And on the third one, it'll actually create Hasveil and will boost by 1. So I haven't seen Oberon King played not in its Oberon Conqueror, which is its third form. So it'll be interesting to see how people manipulate the card and, you know, how much it becomes situational when it's played.
Yeah. And we've hit a lot of factions, and another faction, I think Disloyal is technically a new term for Nilfgaard. You know, so instead of spying, it's now Disloyal. Because you have, like, Usurper, who on order seizes all spying operatives. So they need to have the spying tag on them and operatives tagged. But they won't grab Disloyal if they're not an operative. Or if it is an operative and just disloyal.
Correct? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, the operative, man, it's hard to follow. I've played a couple. I mean, I'm a big Nilfgaard fan, but it's hard to wrap your head around, especially when they're playing Fergus, Far Emrys, and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm pretty sure that the disloyal is just, it's spying, isn't it?
Yeah, it is spying. Disloyal tag, I believe, I don't remember how it reads. I can look it up here real quick. How disloyal works. So disloyal is worded, this card is played on the opposite side of the battlefield. So it does play a lot like spying, but it is technically different.
What is a spying? What is that? Let's see. Excuse me while I try to find a spying card, but I probably can't because I'm asking to find one. But yeah, I wonder if there is a big difference. I will say with this deck, the Mage Infiltrator is, I don't know. I think that card is way too overpowered. I mean, it's...
So, such a good card.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you've got people playing three of them a game just by using some of their mechanics, and you're talking about an incredibly quick way to get rid of Andruga Larva, just like that. I mean, has there ever been a card like that that did that? I don't think so.
I don't believe so either.
Yeah.
It's
almost as damaging as a puffball, which is going to poison, a unit. And if it deals death blow, it does 3 damage to characters or adjacent units. But that also requires a poison counter, so it's even more powerful than that. And then it's a disloyal unit, so then you could also buff cards that buff on playing disloyal units or pulling disloyal units back to your side. So it's a crazy card, and I'm seeing it play a lot with Assimilate. I think Nilfgaard, again, I think, have all the factions kind of been buffed all correctly, even? I mean, you guys are big Skillage guys, so you guys know a lot more about that than I do.
I think it's day 2, so I think it's changed. Like, so it's kind of hard to tell how they've changed. I think every single faction has indeed changed in the way they're going to be playing. So, like, the old meta Nilfgaard deck is going to be like a different meta Nilfgaard deck, but it's kind of hard to tell where they rank among other factions as of right now.
Yeah, and then Syndicate. Let's talk a little bit about Syndicate. We don't play Syndicate much. I mean, at least I don't. What are some of the cards that excite you with Syndicate?
There's a lot of cards, I believe, that are now supporting the Firesworn Zealots.
Yep.
And yeah. Syndicate now, that's another heavy push for them, because they weren't really all that supported very well. Congregation got its whole effect changed because it just wasn't proccing very much. Mm-hmm. It's just not just going to be based off coins anymore. The Firesworn Zealots are actually now a fully supported archetype within Syndicate, so we may start seeing that more now between pro ranks or even climbing up the ladder.
Yeah, then you have like...
No, you're fine. So like when it comes to determining how many coins that person will have, it may actually just be changed completely, because Firesworn Zealots, a lot of them don't even rely on the coin. They just rely off the abilities that allow them to be summoned.
Yeah, now you have things like Cleric of the Flaming Rose that will transform, a Firesworn Zealot, which is a 2, to a 3-1. So there's definitely some stuff there. I don't think I've come across one Syndicate deck.
I haven't either yet.
Yeah, with the new Master Mirror. So that'll be interesting to see whether it's people just don't play Syndicate as much, and maybe that's why. And I mean, not trying to go off course, but they've kind of redid the whole journey and how that's all working and how kegs are being discounted. And reading their patch notes on why they did it, I think they're trying to get people to play other factions. And I think they're kind of calling out Syndicate. In my opinion.
One other thing too that they also supported, or they even said, was that Journey was just way too complicated for what a Magic Mirror was going to bring, with the amount of changes that it introduced. You would have had to worry about the changes, learning the new mechanics, learning the new decks, and then worrying about your Journey challenges, all while still trying to climb up the season ladder. like I could see why they felt like everything was just, you know, trying to pull the player into different directions, in a sense.
Yeah.
Because they did announce that they were like, well, we're only going to put it up, you know, on hold for a month to let everybody get used to the new expansion, let everybody collect the new cards, and then we'll consider putting it back in, and we may introduce, you know, a whole new character. Like, there was even hints from their official Twitter account, CD Projekt Red's official Twitter account, that Ciri or even Yennefer may get her own journey path.
Hmm, okay.
Yeah. So that'd be interesting to see.
And then looking at Northern Realms, what are some of the cards, if any? I mean, I think the best bronze, for sure, is Karrak City Guard, which is a Veil. Move an enemy unit to the other row at the end of your turn. If order is not used, boost self by one. So that could be, I think that could be a really powerful card. It gives Northern Realms the ability to move stuff around a lot.
Almost similar to Scoia'tael's move tactics.
Yeah, in a lot of ways. And then you have, you know, King Bellahan, which is whenever you play a unit with power less than 4, so it's power to 4. If you play Devotion, it's increased the power limit to 5. So that could be really interesting too. But I think what Weezus was saying, I think it's a little just too early to kind of know what's going to be played and how it's going to be played. I mean, I think the first day everyone was playing Ethereal. Doomed at the end of your turn, if the unit is on the right, it's not a demon, transform it. So you could just play a fruit deck and just continue to transform it, or play some sort of, you know, insect deck that just, you know, spawns eggs or so I mean, I was seeing everyone play that, but I don't know, the more I played it, it didn't play right for me. I don't know, did you guys play it at all?
I haven't even crafted the card.
I haven't even played against it yet, so, and I've played, you know, roughly 20 games this season so far, so.
Yeah, so they were playing Ithriel and then using fruit, so pretty much every time you dropped a fruit, you were guaranteeing a +3 on your board, and they were actually playing it with Kiki Queen as well, so you would play Ithriel in the first round to pretty much take it, second round you'd pass, and then third round you would just use your, you know, your Kiki Queen mechanics, the old school, you know, spawn another one, stuff like that. But then I started to see, you know, people were making sure Melina were in their decks, and they would just move it around, which pretty much makes the card, I wouldn't say useless, but really difficult, because you could be looking at a, like, for instance, let's say like a Yearn, 13-point card being eaten to a 4. So it was definitely a meme. It was funny. I liked playing it.
It's weird because I think a lot of factions actually got some sort of movement during Master Mirror, because like you said, you had the City Guard from Northern Realms. Monsters, they got the card that spawns a Frost while moving a card too. I don't remember its name. Wild Hunt Bruiser, I think it is.
Yep.
Yeah, move an enemy unit. I mean, Scoia'tael always had movement in their deck. But I mean, just with Northern Realms getting the movement and Monsters, to me, is kind of a surprise. Just because it's not very common for them. I mean, I think when you think of movement, you know, from changing rows, it's more of a Scoia'tael sort of thing to do.
Well, I think you bring up a good point. I think they've really tried to focus on making movement more viable in the game. And movement's so important. I mean, you're talking about playing against a great sword deck, ship deck or something like that. It's so, so vital that you're playing things on the correct rows. Being able to move stuff, I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, moving is not just about moving defenders, I think, with this new Master Mirror. So that's actually a really good point.
Speaking of defenders, with the new Veil mechanic, I've been incorporating it personally, is putting Veil on a defender and making them pretty much invincible to either not be hit, besides either by move or purify,
so that's
or just straight damage.
So I actually didn't think about that. So what cards put Veil on a specific unit? You know any of them?
Fortune Teller, Pact, and there is one other card. I can't remember the name. But there's three cards in Skellige that I know for a fact that put Veil on. I think there's two neutrals and one is a Skellige faction that can put Veil on a defender or any other card that you choose to put it on. And that just makes that defender even harder to kill. because you know you can't target them with any status effects. At first, it used to be okay. If I see a defender pop up, I'm going to purify him, I'm going to poison him, or I'm going to bleed him. Those are usually the top three ways to get rid of them. And you know, with Veil, you can't poison him, you can't bleed him, you can't. There's another status effect. Lock. You can't even do locks.
Yeah, so pretty much
it really makes a defender pretty much invincible now.
So yeah, pretty much if you didn't know, Veil is a new thing at status that prevents the unit from gaining other statuses. So that could be everything from poison to lock to vitality. I mean, just any type of status. That's definitely interesting. What else haven't we focused on? Symbiosis, right?
Symbiosis, go tell.
Yeah, so explain symbiosis to us for someone who's new to the game.
Well, it's kind of hard because it is new to the game completely. Only added in Magic Mirror, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, so whenever you play a nature card, you get to spawn a treant. And then that power is set of the treant that has just spawned to the number of units with symbiosis that you control. So that's why Spellatel, I think, is on the back, coming back as well. Because the more spells you play, nature cards you play, which are spells, then you get to create treants and you fill up your board and you get all those points of value.
Yeah, and what I think, so you got Harmony and you have that ability, which could get really interesting. One of the things when we're talking about Veil, I hate to jump off what we were just talking about, but for instance, thinking of a card Drummond Villager, okay? So Drummond Villager gives bleeding to the unit to the right, then gives bleeding to an enemy unit. And what I was really, really intrigued by was I figured that the second premise or the second part of the card would not play into hand if the first play of the card was played on a Veil character or Veil unit. But I actually watched the game. That's not the case. I don't know if that is a bug that they haven't realized they need to fix, but I mean, you could play Drummond Villager, play Bleed
right
on
next to Vader.
Yeah, right next to a Veil, and it does nothing, of course, because the Veil can't take status, and then it does the bleeding to the enemy unit. So that was interesting.
I don't think it's a bug. I think that's how it's supposed to be played.
Yeah.
It just makes sense. It's like one of those things where they're just meant to be played with one another. And the thing that I don't like about it personally, like I play them both in my deck that I run now. The thing I don't like is if you nerf one, you're kind of nerfing the other one as well, because like if you make it impossible to play Invader, then you're making it much harder to play Villager in your deck, because I don't think there's any other self-veiled units in Skellige right now.
I'm not 100% sure, to be honest with you,
besides Drummond as well, because she's Veil Zeal. She's the one where if she doesn't use her order, she damage, like they do something. I think all factions got one of those two. So hers was, if you don't use your order at the end of your turn, you damage a random enemy unit. Some people boost themselves, some people boost a random ally. But all of them have some sort of mechanic like that too.
Yeah. So I think, like we were saying before, it's just going to be interesting. The more cards are played, the more pro players are building decks, we're going to get kind of a better idea of what's going to be the most viable thing. So just to wrap up this episode, if you guys had to say in your heart which faction is going to be coming out on top this season, or maybe two, maybe a tied for two. I mean, last season, I think we saw Nilfgaard, Soldier Ball, and Harmony, Skoyotel being the top two decks. What would you think would be the top deck or top two at tier one?
Honestly, but they could possibly be Nilfgaard, you know, it's always going to be on top. You know, it seems like somebody at CD Projekt Red has a thing for Nilfs. They always got to make them some way, you know, very powerful. It's not like they're ever going to have, you know, a huge nerf like Harmony had.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm not trying to be biased or anything, but Skellige. I mean, Skellige has so many new playstyles now. It's not just going to be predictable anymore.
Mine would be Skoyotel and Monster. Skoyotel with the symbiosis and spells, and then Monsters, just their tool set is just so much better now. So I think people will learn to play them more. I don't think they're necessarily better because of the frost. I think just overall their cards allow them to get themselves in and out of positions that they need to be. And just before we head out, also, I wanted to make a cool comment because you were talking about the Invader Villager combo with the bleed, you know, to the right. Mm-hmm. You thought that was cool. What I thought was cool is that for the monster cards, Portal does not affect Devotion. So in the new monsters, they have the Conqueror, which is, you know, 7 power, 4 provisions. Deploy, destroy self, Devotion, cancel the deploy ability. Well, Portal is a neutral card, so technically it doesn't have Devotion in the deck. But if you Portal both of your Conquerors out, that's a 14-point play, and it doesn't technically make the Devotion set off because you never deployed them. I thought that was an interesting mechanic.
That is a very interesting mechanic, but you're talking a 13-point provision. I didn't think about that, so it's a good point. If I would have to say, it's tough. I want to say Nilfgaard, right? I've played against a few operative decks and they're powerful. Monster I think so far has been surprisingly powerful, but I think we're gonna have to wait and see when people are gonna start playing weather effects, or not weather effects but weather removals, into their decks, and how much that's gonna change. And Scoia'tael, I would have to say as well, with the Symbiosis Harmony. So I'm kind of those three. I don't really have a deciding factor. I'm going to have to say, though, I would say Scoia'tael comes out on top. And close second would be those two combined. I don't know. There's so many ways you can beat players with Scoia'tael.
Another mechanic that I believe we missed out on, and we could just touch on it briefly, was the Echo mechanic.
Oh, yeah.
That's a Jesus. New mechanic. How did we forget that? That's really powerful, you know, with the introduction of Neuromancy and then Skellige with Blood Eagle.
Oh, yes.
Those cards coming back not every round, but basically 2 rounds per game.
You're talking about...
I can't tell you how powerful that is.
Well, you're talking about Ardgoth, too, is an Echo card. It spawns Frost on both enemy rows for 3 turns. So, I mean, it's hard to deal with when it comes back. And then all the other cards they have that bring the frost effects in, it's just like nonstop, it feels like.
Yeah, I believe at one point when I was playing against that monster frost deck, I think I had a row of 6 to 7 frost, and I was just like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. I'm gonna have to deal with, you know, 14 damage potentially being hit on my row.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot to talk about, guys, and I know we didn't get everything we wanted to get into the podcast episode, but we're going to talk a little bit more about it on our next episode. We'll talk a little bit more about our decks that we're playing. I think we just need a little bit more time under our belts to get an idea of what we think is going to work. Well, we got Ezra on the channel, like I said, and also Weezus. Please make sure you're reaching out to your fellow streamers, giving them the support that they deserve. Please leave a comment also in the podcast if you guys like something about it. And then any suggestions, we always appreciate suggestions. But guys, thank you so much, and we'll see you next time.